From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of his seventh message in a series on chapter 11 from the Epistle to the Hebrews. The text is verse 12, which speaks of God overcoming the seeming impossibility of Abraham and Sarah having the child of promise on account of their old age. Their carnal effort to fulfill God's promise through Hagar demonstrates the truth that the flesh always opposes God's way of doing things. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, this fleshly opposition manifests itself in man's determination to bypass the gospel and to attempt to save himself by his own works. Throughout the Christian's life, he will always have to battle the flesh. As the Bible makes abundantly clear, the flesh and the spirit are at constant warfare. As we'll see today, the only way to overcome the flesh is by faith in Jesus Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message entitled, The Fruitfulness of Faith. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning. Our text for this morning is found in Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 20. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? One great besetting sin of ancient Israel was idolatry, and the spiritual Israel are vexed with a tendency to the same folly. Remphan's star shines no longer, and the women weep no more for Tammuz, but Mammon still intrudes his golden calf, and the shrines of pride are not forsaken. Self, in various forms, struggles to subdue the chosen ones under its dominion, and the flesh sets up its altars wherever it can find space for them. Favorite children are often the cause of much sin in believers. The Lord is grieved when He sees us doting upon them above measure. They will live to be as a great curse to us as Absalom was to David, or they will be taken from us to leave our homes desolate. If Christians desire to grow thorns to stuff their sleepless pillows, let them dote upon their dear ones. It is truly said that they are no gods, for the objects of our foolish love are very doubtful blessings. The solace which they yield us now is dangerous, and the help which they can give us in the hour of trouble is little indeed. Why then are we so bewitched with vanities? We pity the poor heathen who adore a god of stone, and yet worship a god of gold. Where is the vast superiority between a god of flesh and one of wood? The principle, the sin, the folly is the same in either case, only that in ours the crime is more aggravated, because we have more light and sin in the face of it. The heathen bows to a false deity, but the true God he has never known. We commit two evils, inasmuch as we forsake the living God and turn unto idols. May the Lord purge us all from this grievous iniquity. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne, and worship only thee.
Holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs, made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
contendings, let us be Christ-like. Hatred. And then personal animosities. I don't like your personality. You don't like mine. Well, leave it home. I don't like it too much myself. I don't like what the way you go about things. I don't like what you've done. Hatred. Now, hold your beliefs. If they're biblical, don't let me or anybody else shift you from. But if you cherish this burning hatred, if you are rejecting those whom Christ accepts, you're wrong. That's it. He can't be wrong. He can't be wrong. And that's a hindrance to the gospel. I was brought up in a small church that had great potential. We labored, we built that church by the grace of God. We prayed, we visited, we brought people in. We gave, we worked among children, young people, adults. Whatever had to be done, and we did it with a love for Christ, and for the most part, with a great unity and love for each other. But sooner or later in a small church, you're going to get one person doesn't like another person. And we saw that come into that church. A hatred. And it split the church. And it killed the church. And then there was a separation. And then we would labor again and build again. And the work would get up again. And as soon as it got up, and it came back to the same person. I think the person really couldn't like herself, and I don't know. She had many wonderful and admirable qualities. And I was delighted to think of her and her husband and her family as very good friends. But man, again it started. And then again it started. And every time God built the church up, that just cut it down. The flesh opposing the spirit. Hatred. Variance. Division. Paul says, I'm told by the house of Chloe that there's division in Corinth. You say, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Apollos, I am of Christ. Don't you hear that, Holy One? I am of Christ. I am. Variance, division, emulation. I'm going to be as good as he is. I'm going to do what he does. Emulations, wrath, anger, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These are the works of the flesh. I want to tell you, they will fight the Spirit. The flesh is dead spiritually. You'll see that diabolically it's very much alive. But spiritually, as far as spiritual life and progress and blessing are concerned, the flesh is the enemy. It's like the body of Abraham, dead. It's like the womb of Sarah, dead. It's not a help to the work of God. So the flesh stands in the way of the promise. Second thing we learn from our text, that is that the only way to overcome the flesh is by faith. And that faith specifically in Jesus Christ. Now I've said that sanctification is a battle. Right? So it is. You're going to have to fight it. I know this from experience. I remember as a young Christian, my teens, I had a sister who was and is very good to me. In fact, to her whole family. And I don't know what on earth ever got into me. I was about 17 or 18 years old. I don't know what on earth ever got into me, but I must have got out of the wrong side of the bed that morning. I don't normally do that for usually the bed up against the wall, and there's only one side I could get out. But I got out, and something had gone wrong. I can't remember anything about the day except that there was a difference of opinion between my sister and me. That's fine. That happens many a time. The sister's always right. But somehow or other, I can't remember the argument, who was right or wrong, but somehow or other, I added one more sentence, and I demolished her with that sentence. And in effect, it just told her that she never had done anything or meant anything, and neither had I. It just was so wicked and wrong. It demolished her. And it demolished me. And then pride got up. And pride would say, and I can remember the feeling. It's not the only time I've had it, but I can remember the feeling. To try to start to find reasons why that statement could be justified. Why that stance could be defended. After a minute or second or two, really, I realized, hey, there's no defense for that. And then pride again. Well, just say nothing about it. Just let it go. But no, that can't be done. The Holy Spirit convicted me, and I was broken that night in a way that I don't think I have ever been so broken in all my life. With honesty and humility, I went to Betty and I took her hand and I said, Betty, what I said was sinful and wrong and wicked. That was not an easy thing to do. Not an easy thing to do at all. There's a battle involved in it. My pride is the greatest enemy of God's grace in my life, for pride wants to put me where Christ should be. There's a battle in it, and if you are going to live holy, you may not have to walk the same way I walked, though you may. You may have a battle in another place, but the battle is going to be won. But you will find that the battle will not be won by dependence on another aspect of the flesh. The battle will be won by faith in Christ. How can you be humble? By taking all the seminars on things that produce humility? No, sir. That'll just give you a humility that you're proud of. How can you be humble? You see Jesus Christ. You get your heart and your mind filled with Jesus Christ. You let the grace of God flood your heart. Let your soul be overwhelmed with the truth that I am a vile worm of the dust, and I could have been and should have been burning in the lowest hell, but that God loved me, Christ died for me, the blood was shed for me and applied to me, and now I'm saved. And I want to tell you, as soon as that grips your heart, the dirty, rotten, stinking pride that old W.P. Nicholson called it will be driven out of you. You can't be proud of your flesh when you see Jesus Christ. The way to overcome the flesh is by faith in Christ. Didn't we read in Romans chapter 4 of Abraham and his great faith? We read there that verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now, that's not to say he didn't think about his body. Abraham did. You go back to the Old Testament, and he confessed his body was dead. But what it is saying is this: by faith, Abraham, though he recognized the deadness of his body, did not esteem that body capable of overcoming his God and his promise, but rather overcame it by the promise. And he staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not through unbelief. Abraham had a battle going on inside him. Abraham had a judgment to make about the promise of God. And when he saw the God who gave the promise, and when he saw the content of the promise, when his heart got filled with the promise of God's grace in Christ, who is the promised seed, I want to tell you, Abraham didn't stagger. Unbelief couldn't defeat him. And the flesh and the deadness of his body couldn't defeat him. He overcame the deadness of his body by faith in Jesus Christ. Now I come back to one of my favorite themes. I have mentioned this so many times that if I had any shame in me about it, I would be ashamed to say it again. But you see, I have no shame about saying it again. The life that I now live in the flesh, how do I live it? How do most Christians live the life they now live in the flesh? By counselors. That's how they live it. By little books of Christian psychology. That's how they live it. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by rote, by rule, by regulation. I was talking to a brother yesterday, the way down from Virginia Beach, in the plane. We're talking about the standards and fundamentalism. Now, I believe in those standards. I don't like to see fellas with their hair down to their shoulders. I don't like to see a man trying to look like a woman, and I detest even more a woman trying to look like a man. I believe in modest dress. I believe in steering clear of booze and cinema and a whole lot of other things as well. I believe in standards, and I don't think fundamentalism is going to be helped by dropping its standards. I have no time whatsoever for this so-called Christian liberty movement in so many reformed churches, which is a liberty to be as worldly as you can be and get away with. I have no time for it. But you'll never create holy people by saying, this is the rule, this is the regulation, and that's what you've got to live by. You'll never do that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.